If you've experienced a loss of motivation, energy, or sex drive, or if you're noticing that you're a little softer around the middle than you used to be, it could be your testosterone levels have dropped. By the time men reach the age of 30, in most cases, their T levels have started to decline, and low T can lead to a loss of muscle mass, depression, lack of energy, and a low sex drive. The good news is now you have your remedy with Test X9. This stuff is the real deal, guys. This formula has 9 clinically proven ingredients to naturally boost your body's own testosterone production. Experience increases in strength, energy, and sex drive, as well as improved mood and well-being. Feedback has been awesome. Guys in their 30s and 40s have reported waking up with the quote-unquote morning wood for the first time since they were teenagers. If you want to take it to the next level, you can maximize your results with the Ultimate Test Stack, which combines the Test X9 with the T-Assist, an estrogen control and liver support blend, and Recovery PM, an amazing sleep aid that has had incredible feedback for helping people to get the best sleep they've ever had without feeling groggy that next day. You'll be amazed with the effect of raising your T levels and improving your sleep will have on your overall performance and well-being. Don't settle for average. Man up at LegacySupps.com. That is LegacySupps.com. And use the promo code Sullivan for an additional 10% off your entire order. That's LegacySupps.com. And use that promo code Sullivan for 10% off your entire order for the best health and workout supplements out there. This is Pro Wrestler approved. Please welcome in our new sponsor, Fishing Clash. Download Fishing Clash for free right now on your mobile phone by typing in Fishing Clash in the search bar of your Google Play or App Store. Open the menu in the top right-hand corner, choose the gift code section, and input my special code Taskmaster to get an awesome reward for a total value of $20. Enjoy chilling atmosphere after a hard working day. Get familiar with different types of fish species and their habits. You can choose one or two, or you know what you like the most. Explore amazing fishing spots worldwide from Florida to Kamchatka. Whether you prefer fly fishing, ice fishing, trolling, you'll admire the look of all the fishing spots available in this game. This game will help you remember how you went fishing with your dad when you were a kid. So download Fishing Clash today for free on your mobile phone by typing in Fishing Clash in the search bar of the Google Play or App Store. Open the menu in the top right-hand corner, choose gift code section, and input the special code Taskmaster to get a total value of $20. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the Fishing Clash, as it is a great casual time killer. Welcome to Taskmaster Talks with Kevin Sullivan. I am your host, JP John Paz. With me, of course, the star of the show, the former WCW and ECW World Tag Team Champion, and one of the greatest minds and bookers ever in the history of the business, the Games Master, the Taskmaster, the devil himself, Mr. Kevin Sullivan. Kevin, how are you doing today, sir?
Great, JP.
I am doing good, but I don't know. What do you think about kind of right now with what's going on with AEW? Because they just released basically a list. I don't know if you saw this. Banned moves, like stuff that's banned. They don't want you in the crowd. They don't want blood in the crowd, like a bunch of lists. It seems like to me like that might be coming from somebody at the executive level, like as far as Turner is concerned.
I would think so. All of a sudden that comes out. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I would think that came from a, maybe, I mean, we're just guessing. I would think maybe, how many rules did they have? A bunch?
Oh, yeah, there's a bunch. Yeah. At least 20. Yeah.
Yeah, so that maybe came from upstairs.
Because if you think about it, they've been around for 4 years and Khan never mentioned any of this before. And all of a sudden now they're coming up on the end of their deal, where Turner could technically, you know, get a little bit more power here on the negotiating table. Hey, if you do these things, you know, we'll resign you, kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you don't know what kind of heat they're getting from all the blood or anything, you know what I mean? Especially going to the crowd.
And a lot of the moves have to get pre-approved now, too, like on the apron. Like a lot of the crazy moves that they do, they have to be approved now.
How does that work? What constitutes a move getting predetermined whether it's in or out?
I guess like those crazy spots, do you have to talk to the agent like, hey, we're going to put this in the match? Or
I don't mean to cut you off, but who decides what the spot is?
Oh, yeah, I don't know. It just says spots to the ring apron, like on the outside of the ring there, that hard part of the apron.
So that can't be done?
If it gets pre-approved, I guess, by the agent and by Tony Khan. To me, it just sounds like they're trying to cut down on it, because that's almost in every match. It just seems like they're trying to cut down on it.
To me, it sounds like they've gotten called on the carpet that too many guys are getting hurt.
That could be it too, for sure. And when you look at it, I remember like WCW standards and practices came in. They started. You guys had to, you know, right? You guys had to start bringing stuff
really,
in.
Yeah, it was really ridiculous.
How does that happen? Like one of the executives comes in, he's like talks to you guys, or like is that a Bischoff level? Is that your level? Like what happens?
Oh, it's way over mine or Eric's head. It's. They send the guy down from the North Tower, standards of practice, as he sits in the production, and he goes over a fine-tooth comb and tells you what you can't do and what you can't do. I remember when they said, you know, foreign object. You can't use the word foreign object. Look down.
Right.
That's an international object.
Crazy. Yeah. I remember, I forget who was wrestling. Was it Benoit and Regal? Somebody had a match on Nitro and there was blood. So you guys took the hard camera shot and zoomed out and didn't take the other cameras, just was shooting the hard camera until the finish. And then the guys were out of there and then you went back to business. It was like, wow, TNT was like no blood and there was blood by accident. So you guys couldn't film it.
Right, right. I mean, seems to me I'm just pulling us out of the air. They got this from a mandate. They didn't come up with them themselves, I don't think.
That's what it sounds like to me. And it's funny, Eric Bischoff tweeted out, this sounds like something that came from Turner executives, because I've seen stuff like this before, and this is exactly what it looks like.
Yeah, well, Eric would know better than anybody. So, yeah, if Eric said that, I'd take it to the bank.
Yeah, and I saw somebody from the WWF side, a former talent or writer, if you will, for WWF, said the same thing. So it's interesting, like everyone's kind of on the same page thinking that, but the AEW hasn't come out and said like those are the reasons or that this is going to happen. But it does sound like an executive type thing, like, oh, there's like, oh my God, you're bleeding in the crowd or using weapons in the crowd. Like, I don't want even you taking drinks from fans in the crowd or using objects from fans in the crowd. Seems like an executive type maneuver here.
Little things can piss people off that you wouldn't think, right? Remember, didn't somebody grab a drink from a kid?
MJF.
whether it was set up or not, you know, somebody in the North Tower could say, oh, that's bullshit. You know what I mean? Who knows?
You don't want to do that to a fan, yep.
Yeah, you don't want to get under the microscope, that's for sure.
When you look at something like this, is this like a bad sign that your product is going to be waned back? You know, because like it happened to WCW and it seemed like it hurt the product.
Maybe in the long term, it's good that you don't. You know, if you don't have a line that you can't cross, so where's the line? You know what I mean? And then when you do that, you get yourself in trouble. So it might be the best thing for them right now. Something, I would assume, something transpired to cause them to write down these set of rules. It isn't like somebody went to the mountain and got a stone tablet and had the rules written on them. Somebody particularly wrote these out because of some situation that happened. So maybe it's a good thing so you don't, something doesn't explode in your face. And, you know, it does show that somebody's watching too, and that the product that's, if it is Turner, it shows that someone in control of programming is watching the program. So that's very good. So they must be very happy with the numbers they're doing, very happy with the programming they're giving them, and they don't want anything to go awry.
Did you like Standards and Practices and have to deal with
them at all? No, not at all. Not at all. Because the guy wanted to run the show. You know what I mean? That's what happened.
What was your interaction with them like?
Oh, they'd come up, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that. It was bad for me, but it was much worse when Kevin was involved.
It just seems like, and I know we've talked about this like a million times on the show, it's like they don't really know wrestling and they don't know how to police it or should be policing it, but they act like they do and they think they do. It's much more of a corporate like TV level that they're speaking about.
Right, right. You're absolutely right.
When you look at it though, it just, I don't know, it's like, to me, it's a negative, like that they come and do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did Nash complain about Standards and Practices a lot?
Who could he complain to?
Well, I mean, to you, like to the boys, yeah, like, oh, this bullshit.
We all did. Yeah, I mean, it was all bullshit, but who can you complain to?
It's their network, right?
Right, right.
Do you think that the WWF Attitude Era was helped by Standards and Practices in a certain sense?
What do you mean? How did they help?
Like, they're taking away from you guys. You guys can't do that. So then WWF's like, well, we're going to do this. So more people watched them. You know what I mean? They actually were hurting their own TV and actually helping WWF. Or do you think that?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, some of the stuff they're doing. You know what I mean? Like the middle fingers, the beer, yeah, the blood, the boobs, and everything else.
Yeah, everything. You know, we were really watered down product.
They don't see that, I guess, right? They don't care.
They don't like wrestling.
Still, you think?
JP, do they just give them 20 rules?
Yes.
You know, my parents wanted me in at a certain time at night. They didn't give me 20 different rules that I had to break. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So
it's just, I don't know, it's one of those things where it's like, it's just fascinating. It's like history is repeating itself a little bit here. Like Standards and Practices coming in, changing things, rules. Like we'll see, and maybe WWF can get a, you know, not that they're in any sort of competition with AEW, but maybe WWE can be a little bit more adult. You know what I mean? Be the more adult programming.
I don't think they're going to change. Why would they change?
I don't know. It just seems like maybe they can get maybe more, maybe some more fans without being so kiddie and stuff. Like, you know, maybe some more adult, not attitude era ask, but you know, just more pushing the envelope a little.
Well, don't you think that this bloodline is so engaging that they're hitting adults with this?
Oh yeah, yep.
So what can they do now? They just merged. Well, how much were they declared? They were worth $9.3 billion. Obviously, they got that money because the company that bought it saw long-term growth and long-term that they're going to become much more of a global entity, and they'll be running Saudi Arabia, they'll be running India, they'll be running Puerto Rico, they'll be running Mexico City, they'll be running São Paulo, just like the UFC does now. You know how UFC goes everywhere? Well, we say the WWE goes everywhere, but that's not true. But now they will. You know what I mean? They don't have a they don't run that much in the Far East or the Near East. Once they open up that, wow. So I think they're saying, let's not rock the boat.
To me, the Bloodline storyline is the best. Maybe not ever, but it's up there. It's awesome. Yeah, I love it.
Okay, what would be better?
I don't know. To me, I'm just the NWO, Steve Austin, Vince McMahon feud. Like, those are mine. And Hogan and Savage. To me, you can get close, but you can't top it. But that's just me.
Well, that was a feud. This was, they did 45 minutes of the Garden, right?
Mm-hmm.
Think about this, what it was. The Tribal Chief's court date. Think about that.
Yeah.
Huge numbers.
That was awesome, yeah. Yep, awesome.
I don't know if anything can come close to that. I mean, you have individual feuds, Randy and Hogan, Nash and Hall, the NWO, but here's the difference. I love Kevin, and I love Scott, and I love Six, and I understand. But they were smart enough not to just give anybody a T-shirt.
Right.
And the guy they gave a T-shirt became a huge babyface. So they elevated him.
Yep.
Everybody they touch, they elevate. So that's my thought on that anyway. But anyway, this is going to be interesting to see.
Oof, that was a great segment. And if you look just, you know, relatively speaking, the ratings, Roman Reigns, every quarter hour he's in is nuts. It's like touching almost 3 million sometimes, which you think like, oh, that's not great. But in relatively speaking, today's day and age, it's amazing. John Cena ain't touching that.
It's really amazing. Didn't Dave Meltzer say that he wasn't over?
I forget the logic. It was like he's not a mainstream star. He kind of twisted it, but it didn't make sense, so he kind of changed it and twisted it, but it's not true. He is. He's a huge star.
Is there anybody bigger than him right now?
Hell no. Not even close.
So how is he not a huge star? I don't understand that one.
And it's funny, like Cena, who obviously is more mainstream because he does movies and stuff, and he's a big star. He's been around for 20 years. They were like, oh, his segment, his quarter hour did great. Well, they forgot to mention that Roman Reigns was in that segment with him. It was great. And then when Cena was in a quarter hour rating without Reigns, it was like way down. They were like shocked. I'm like, hello, it's Reigns. It's not. I mean, it's great to have Cena back for the pop, or whatever, but it's Reigns. He's the draw. Not Cena. It's Reigns. Great actor too, Marines. That crying was great.
Yeah, I think John Cena did a tremendous job, especially half the audience hated him at one time.
Yep.
He did a tremendous job. But I'm starting to get the feeling now that when he comes back, it's almost like, and he's terrific. Don't get me wrong. He's fabulous. And I admire him for everything he's done. I admire him for his work ethic. But it's almost like when he's coming back now, it's like he's coming back from a different era. Do you get that feeling too?
Yep. 1,000%.
Yeah. And it's like only a few guys now in my head that are coming can come back. Like Austin came back, but he hadn't been back in 19 years, right?
Yep.
You think he would get that same pop? I know he's, you know, probably the most over guy in the history of wrestling. Do you think he'd get that same pop if he came back next year?
Austin, probably. Yeah, he's over for life like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Cena, yeah, not all the time. Yeah, no way.
That's where I'm going with this. It's almost like that he went to the movies, and everything he did went on by. Do you know what I mean? It seems like in the distant past.
Yep. The business passed him by.
Yeah.
For sure. So let's talk about the topic at hand. WWF Invasion 2001. The Invasion pay-per-view was July 22nd at the Gund Arena in Cleveland, Ohio. The attendance, 17,876. This is, of course, a WWF versus the WCW Alliance. Pay-per-view buys were huge, 775K. So people were interested in what the WWF was going to do with this WCW/ECW Invasion. But it's funny that it changed from WCW Invasion and they added the ECW Invasion along with it because they were not doing a good job with the WCW Invasion. Where were you at this point?
I was home building my gym.
Any thought of coming back or did they want you?
Oh, that was so distant. I had a lot of money involved in this.
Did you talk to Vince and Stephanie about coming in?
Later on after the gym was built, but no, I wasn't going to make that mistake. I had bought an old building, knocked the building down, had to get permits, had to jump through a few hoops, I had to make a few political payoffs. And then I built the biggest gym in the Keys, and then I had to put out over $375,000 of my own money for equipment. I had a lot of money tied up.
Wowza, damn.
Yeah.
So as far as WCW in 2001, like before they closed, like before March 23rd, when WWF technically buys out the longtime rival of WCW, where were you like then? Like obviously still getting paid, right?
Yeah, I got right before, I think a month before, they bought out WCW. They gave me a 3-year extension.
Wow. To do what? What was your job title? To do what?
I was an employee.
They're going to put you on creative or what?
No, I was just, I was on creative at the time. And then I went home in 2000. When did Vince buy it?
March 23rd, 2001.
Okay, so I went home middle of 2000. So it was less than I thought. It was longer than I thought. So I probably went home in June of 2000. Yeah.
So technically speaking, the last Nitro is on March 26, 2001, entitled The Night of Champions. Obviously the final Nitro. Then they have the simulcast with Raw, where Vince reveals that he owns WCW. He bought his competition. Then Shane McMahon comes out and says he owns WCW. And you know, obviously that happened with the final Nitro there down there in Panama City Beach, Florida. Did you watch that? Did you?
No.
What did you think about it?
I didn't even know what was going on.
Really? You paid no attention to it at all?
John, I had over $1 million out.
Wow, so no, you didn't care, obviously, yeah. Yeah. More pressing issues were involved.
Yeah.
Did JJ or anybody call you and say, Kevin, what the fuck is going on? Vince just bought WCW.
JJ called me later on, but, you know, he was home too by that time.
Crazy. Bischoff almost buys it. He's got $65 million on the table to buy it with Fusion Media Ventures. And then, boom, Vince buys it for, like, I think $4.5 million or something insanely cheap because TNT didn't want it on the network. And there you go. I mean, they hate wrestling. There you go. I mean, they didn't want it on the network.
Right.
Horrible deal there for Jamie Kellner. I know there's more to it, but absolutely terrible deal.
You don't think there was some shenanigans there?
Oh, 1,000%.
Brad Siegel, the guy that
was Stu Snyder, his college roommate?
Yeah. Come on.
For sure. Obviously, they want it off the network.
Yeah, these guys should be doing time. Not only they should be doing time, their great grandkids should be doing time.
Imagine that, though, like if you're like an executive, like above them, and you're like, wait, you sold for $4.5 million, but they offered you $65 million? Like,
I heard it was a lot less than that, JP.
Really? Holy shit. Yeah. Okay.
I heard $3.5.
Jesus Christ. Wow, that's insane.
The library was 27 years of tapes.
I know Hogan, who obviously had a ton of money, he said, shit, if I knew it was for that little, I would have bought it. You know what I mean? Makes perfect sense. He could have just bought it. You know what I mean? It's crazy they sold the WWF.
Well, they all knew it was for sale. They could have bought it if they wanted to.
Right. But I guess thinking, hey, Bischoff's buying it for $65 million, I'm not going to buy it for that much. You know, no, like that kind of thing.
They knew, I believe, that Siegel made a deal and he knew what was going to happen. It didn't matter if he came in with $100 million.
I talked to Brad Siegel, God, it's like 3 years ago now. He said he would not allow me to record, so I did not record it. But I talked to him for about 15 minutes. Man, it just seemed like he did not like wrestling, did not want to really talk about wrestling. And I know Guy Evans, who wrote the Nitro book, a very good book about the history of WCW and the history of Nitro, he talked to Siegel. He said he wouldn't let him record him either. So, I mean, obviously, we both agreed. Maybe I should have just illegally recorded him, but I didn't want to do that. But he just seemed like he just, even, God, what is this, 20 years later, just seemed like he did not like WCW in the wrestling business at all.
Yeah, I'm sure he didn't. They're all drawing everything. He was the head of, you know, programming.
Mm-hmm.
Eric was kicking his ass every week.
And remember they were trying football out on TNT? It was doing better than football, so yeah, that had to piss them off.
Yeah, yeah.
His niece is dating Scott Hall. That couldn't have been a happy experience.
No, it couldn't have been. But he used to hang with Raven.
Get out of here.
Oh, yeah, when Raven was crazy and wild. Yeah.
No way. What's that story?
What do you mean, what's that story?
Like Brad Siegel would actually go out and hang out with Raven?
All the time.
Whoa. That just seems insane to me, thinking like this executive who works under Turner, Ted, directly, is hanging out with Raven?
Raven comes from a posh family. You know that, right?
Oh, yes, yes.
And he's a member of the tribe, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's very intelligent. And I'm sure they have friends that have crossed paths. Why not? I have a friend of mine. His name is His name is Wyatt Sachs, but he wrestled as Kid Collins. He was a good friend of Brad's. His family owned, at one time, all the golf courses of South Florida in the early 50s. So they knew each other.
Wow. You should have gone in with Brad Siegel then.
Yeah, I don't think so.
So after McMahon and Vince, meaning, and Shane have their little war words, now that Shane technically owns WCW, the name on the contract says McMahon, but it reads Shane McMahon. They have a feud. They fight at WrestleMania 17. Then slowly but surely, the WCW talented guys, talent roster is coming over. Lance Storm first. Then Booker T interferes and beats up Steve Austin at the King of the Ring. Tries to, cost him the title. It doesn't. He still wins anyway. But it's one of those things where Shane basically declares war and they're going to invade WWF. So it's a copy of the NWO angle, but with the WCW guys, except for one small factor. No Hall, no Nash, no Goldberg, no Sting, no Luger, no Hogan, no Steiner, no Bischoff, no Flair.
Yeah.
Sounds not so good, right?
Sounds like New Coke.
It's right? Almost... Yes, it's almost like you paid for WCW, you think you're getting WCW, and you got WCW Light.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
So, were you paying attention at all to like what was going on? Like,
no.
Okay, so you didn't even know that, like, hey, they brought WCW, but no Hogan, no this guy. Like, there's nobody is there.
No, I was so invested in what I was doing. And then I was, if I had any spare time, I was fishing or diving,
Did you think, or like if you look back, if you think about it, do you think that's like a recipe for success? You buy WCW and then you bring in, I mean, Booker T and DDP, yes. But like when you think WCW, you think Flair and Sting, no? Or like Goldberg and Hogan, like, and you bring in none of those guys? You think that's a little crazy?
I think that Hogan and Goldberg, probably Flair, maybe Sting, had personal contracts with Ted Turner.
And they were still getting paid, yes.
Yeah.
So Vince would have had to buy them out to bring them in, yes.
Yeah.
But he basically, kind of the cheap way, he did it with Buff Bagwell, DDP, Booker T. I mean, they have to agree to it too, but he did it with those guys. The other guys he wouldn't buy out. But eventually, once those guys' contract ran out, eventually all those guys do come in. So it's one of the things where they miss the mark. Eventually they bring him in. I would have spent the money, paid out the contract, and brought him in then, blew up business, and then make a shit ton of money. But obviously Vince saw it differently.
Yeah, obviously he did, right?
But when you look at that, is that really like the right way to go about it? Because at least bring in Sting, right? Or at least bring in Goldberg. Scott Steiner comes in months later. Like, at least bring in a few of the guys, not just Booker T and DDP, because then it's like, okay, Stasiak, who wasn't over, O'Hare, who wasn't over, Palumbo wasn't over. You bring in all these other guys, and you're pretending that's WCW and it's an invasion. No one's buying it.
Well, how many matches did Sting have in WWE?
I think two or four, something like that. Yeah, basically. I think it amounted to four, but it was really two major matches.
Okay. So what does that tell you?
They never had any thought of him, and he's not a WWF guy, fuck him, kind of thing.
Yep. And hasn't Goldberg actually said that he never felt that he was accepted?
Yes. And the only reason when he came back in, what was it, 2017, was because Lesnar and Heyman, buddies with him, asked him to come in and work with him. It wasn't like Vince was asking him and wanting him to come in. Lesnar wanted him to come in. So it's not even like, even years later, it wasn't even like they wanted him to bring him back, which is nuts.
Yeah.
And then obviously the Prince of Saudi Arabia was obsessed with him, wanted him on every single show. So, I mean, then it became business, but it wasn't like Vince was like loving this guy because he didn't create him.
Right.
It's funny, like, when you look at it, though, it's like, okay, they bring in Steiner, and he's injured at this point. So it's like, okay, that was kind of a flub. They bring in Hogan and the NWO later. That was good, but then Hall and Nash kind of were injured, and obviously Hall had some issues, and that didn't work out. Goldberg, they only brought in for a year. That didn't work out. It was almost like, man, you got to strike when the iron's hot, and they brought in every one of those guys, but it was almost too little too late.
Yeah.
Even Bischoff, they bring in Bischoff for, he becomes a GM of Raw. That, imagine if he was the leader of WCW at this point, not Shane McMahon, who isn't the real leader of WCW.
Right.
Is that a little corny to you, too? Like, Shane doesn't really own WCW, but he's the little leader of the brand?
Yeah, I mean, what else were they going to do, though? They wanted to beat it down, didn't they? I mean, I didn't watch it, but...
Seemed like it, yeah.
I'm assuming they were just wanted to beat the shit out of WCW.
Yep.
So they accomplished what they wanted to accomplish.
It's funny, the war was still raging, even though they won already in March.
Yeah, and it got their brand over both ECW and WCW.
And it's funny, you mentioned Sting and him being there. Remember he faced Triple H at WrestleMania 31 and he lost. Hall and Nash and Hogan were a part of that match. DX was on the other side of part of that match. Hall, Nash, and Hogan were saying they were shocked Sting lost. I go, what? And but then they realized in Vince's mind, the war is still going on and WWF had to beat WCW once again.
Right, right.
Insane. Oh, my God. So it just felt like at this time, wow, 775,000 people are really interested in this pay-per-view. This is going to be great. This is WCW versus WWF. Then they mix in a little ECW after the WCW stuff kind of flopped because there wasn't enough star power. It just, I don't know, it just felt to me that, and obviously the fans thought so too, it's like, wow, 775, and then it goes downhill from there. It's just not something that gets more business.
Right, right.
They'll bring The Rock back in after this, and he'll come in, I guess, after his filming schedule is over and, like, try to pick up business again. But it's funny. It's like almost too little too late. They already killed it.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't watch it. Going on what you're saying, it sure sounds that way.
When you look at it, too, it's like, okay, WCW and ECW, they put ECW with WCW. Stephanie McMahon, quote-unquote, now owns ECW with Paul Heyman is, like, with her. Do you like that, too? Now his daughter is against him, and she's trying to take down WWF as well?
I'm just going on what you're saying because I didn't see any of this. It seems to me a little diluted, doesn't it?
Big time.
Yeah.
So basically, it's Vince McMahon versus Shane and Stephanie is basically the feud here. WWF versus WCW, but they're calling it the Alliance. WCW did not work. ECW, they're trying to put their guys in the mix. You know, Raven, Rhino, the Dudley Boys, Taz, they're trying to kind of put those guys in the mix as the ECW guys, just incredible, and really have them team with WCW to give it a little bit more star power.
Okay.
So the main event, I'll just mention this first, is Team Alliance. So it's Booker T, the Dudley Boys, DDP, and Rhino with Shane McMahon, Stephanie, and Heyman versus Team WWF. Jericho, Kane, Kurt Angle, The Undertaker, Stone Cold Steve Austin with Vince McMahon. So just looking at it, Team WWF has a shit ton of star power. WCW, it's a decent amount, but not so much. Like the Dudley Boys, Rhino, DDP wasn't, you know, like the huge star in WWF, and Booker T isn't a big star yet. So it just seems like WWF has all the star power, and WCW didn't bring over all their star power.
Well, what did they do with DDP? Was he a babyface or was he ill or what?
So very, very strange. They brought him in as a stalker. Somebody was stalking Undertaker's wife. So he's a heel, Undertaker's the babyface, and he reveals himself, and it's DDP. And as the story goes, I guess Undertaker didn't really care for DDP as much. So the feud never really got off the ground. They never really had a one-on-one match. Like Undertaker's wife, Sarah, at the time, kind of beat up DDP in the feud. Then Undertaker and Kane are beating up Canyon and DDP. So he's a heel, but he's not really treated like a top heel.
Okay. So how long of a run did DDP have there?
About a year, I'd say. But basically, he was like European title, basically, was like the ceiling. So mid-card guy, almost.
Okay. So they were trying to – they were obviously loading this for WWF, right, to make them – yeah, okay.
And you're gonna love the ending because it proves even further that WCW had absolutely nobody, because Steve Austin, and well, I guess we can get into it now. So Stone Cold Steve Austin, during the match, he ends up turning heel and he goes and joins the WCW ECW team. So he's the leader of WCW at the end of this. So it's just like, wait, what? The guy who got fired via FedEx from WCW is the leader of WCW. Like, terrible.
Yeah, a little strange, my man.
And what they were doing, I guess you didn't know this either at this time, but Austin was a kind of a heelish character anyway at this point. He was basically a chicken shit heel. Like, nobody was buying it. Like, nobody liked it.
What?
Yeah.
Who would have made it? I saw stuff like that, but I didn't know how long it was. How could you make Steve Austin a chicken shit? My God. Whose idea was that?
So it's obviously Vince and creative, but they said that Steve was on board with it. So they always try to push it off to Austin that he was trying to play the heel. But I don't know. A guy like that who knows his character and is basically playing the exact opposite. Right. Very, very strange.
Right.
But wow. But basically, I don't know. It's WWE versus WWF. We'll get into the matches. We'll go through them pretty quickly here because I know obviously – You didn't see them, but we'll just give you your thoughts on them. Sunday Night Heat, Chavo Guerrero of the Alliance beats Scotty Tuhati, 6 minutes and 45 seconds. Then the first match of the Invasion pay-per-view, Edge and Christian of the WWF defeat Lance Storm and Mike Awesome of the Alliance in 10 minutes. So, I don't know, like Storm and Awesome are good and whatever, but obviously Edge and Christian are getting the win. Team WWF is going over.
Right. I mean, what would you do if it was your company? Wouldn't you do the same thing?
Yes, but it's interesting because years ago, obviously, they kind of stole the blueprint from you in the NWO. Doesn't the heel have to kind of get their dominance so you think that there's a thought that the babyface was in peril? You know what I mean? Like WWE's down and out. They need a savior. They need Sting to save them or Goldberg to save them. Like, you always say, don't you want to build up the balloon and you know, keep the heat? This felt like, oh my God, like these guys have no chance.
Right. And in actuality, I think the people got that too, because they didn't have, you know, the main plays that you talked about. Right.
Yep.
So,
I know a guy that loves you, Gabe Sapolsky, used to book for Ring of Honor, works for WWE now. Obviously, he's the head talent scout. He had a feud where they, ROH back in the day, you know, 15, 16, 17 years ago, feuded with a company called CZW.
Yeah.
And they did kind of, you know, it's an NWO thing. They did like an invasion angle. Guess what they did? CZW shockingly won like all the matches. And then all more and more fans started coming to the show because they're like, shit, ROH isn't going to just kill this company and just, you know, destroy them. I know it's a much smaller scale, but there was so much interest in it because people wanted to see CZW get their ass kicked because they kept winning.
Right. That's cool.
And obviously, yeah, he's a fan of the Booker Man. He's definitely a fan of you for sure.
I'm a fan of his too.
And obviously his mentor is your protege, Paul Heyman.
Yeah.
So the third match, a.k.a. second match of the pay-per-view, you're going to love this. Earl Hebner of the WWF defeated Nick Patrick of the Alliance in 3 minutes, and Mick Foley was the special guest referee.
I love it. I love it.
Isn't that funny? Even the referees are wrestling, and WWF is winning.
Yeah, it's crazy.
They're going to try to even it up a little bit there, so they are going to try to change it up. So the APA, Bradshaw and Farouk defeat the team of Chuck Palumbo and Sean O'Hare in 6 minutes and 45 seconds. So WWF wins again. Then we have a singles match. Billy Kidman of the Alliance defeats X-Pac in 7 minutes. So Alliance is going to start picking up some steam here, get some victories. So they're going to try at least to make it even, you know, to make it seem like that there's a fair shake here.
Yeah.
Then Raven of the Alliance defeats William Regal of the WWF in 6 minutes and 30 seconds. Then Chris Kanyon, Hugh Morris, and Sean Stasiak of the Alliance defeated Billy Gunn, Albert, and the Big Show of the WWF in 4 minutes, 20 seconds. Then Tajiri of Team WWF defeats Taz of Team Alliance in 5 minutes, 30 seconds. And then in a very good match, Rob Van Dam of the Alliance defeats Jeff Hardy of the WWF for the Hardcore Championship. It was a hardcore match. The match went 12 minutes and 40 seconds. So RVD could be a little bit of star power there for Team Alliance there with as far as the ECW side of things are concerned.
Okay.
Are you liking the fair shake, or is it almost it's almost like too predictable of booking the tit for tat? Or do you want that?
I think it's too predictable tit for tat. You know, I don't know. I agree with you what you said. When you don't have the other guys, it's really watered down.
You'll love this one. Trish Stratus and Lita of the WWF defeated Tori Wilson and Stacy Keibler of the Alliance in a bra and panties tag team match with Mick Foley again as the special referee. The match went 5 minutes. Bra and panties tag team match. You like that?
How did Mick get that job, huh?
You know he's loving that, yes.
Yeah.
He loves his women. You know that.
Yes. Yeah.
He was always a big fan. I don't know if you remember Christy Canyon, the old porn star. He was always a huge fan of Christy Canyon for some reason. Yeah. Mick. Oh, man. Then in the main event, like I mentioned before, Team Alliance, Booker T, Bubba Ray, D-Von, DDP, and Rhino with Shane, Stephanie, and Paul Heyman of the Alliance defeated Team WWF, Chris Jericho, Kane, Kurt Angle, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and The Undertaker with Vince McMahon. The match went about 29 minutes, and the finish was kind of, I guess, unpredictable in a certain sense, where Austin turned on the Team WWF and helped Team Alliance win, and Team Alliance beats Team WWF. So at least, like, you're thinking in your head, oh, the Alliance won, WCW and ECW won. But now the boss and the leader is Austin, who is the WWF guy through and through.
Right, right.
Are you like thinking in your head, like, I know you didn't see it, obviously, but like, as I'm saying it, like, does this make any sense whatsoever to you?
Not to me, no. Not to me.
Like, why the hell would Austin help the team that, or like WWE, they fired him via FedEx?
Right. I have no idea. And I don't want to knock anybody. It sounds like, to me, they had very little idea what was going on, too.
Man, if you look at it, too, it's like, holy crap, Austin literally saved WWF. I mean, he's the guy that started beating you guys.
Right.
And now he's on the other team? Like, why? Makes no sense.
Right.
And they try to build it up like he was jealous because Vince liked Kurt Angle better, so they sort of feud with Austin and Kurt Angle. But nobody was buying it. I mean, as a fan at that point, I mean, we're not buying it. It was so stupid.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So instead of Goldberg versus Austin, this big match, no, we get Austin versus Kurt Angle, two WWF guys. Like, the only big dream match we really got one-on-one for a long time was The Rock versus Booker T. And even then, you knew Rock was beating Booker T. There was no way Booker T was going over.
Right, right.
So you're almost lucky you didn't see or hear any of this stuff, because you would have been, like, scratching your head, like, what the hell? This makes no sense.
Right. I'm sure I would have been.
775,000 buys, and, you know, like, and this is the what they put out. This is the product, and this is the turn. You could see why the Alliance kind of flopped and was deemed not to be a success. And by Survivor Series, WWF wipes them out, and then the storyline is over. So it only lasts a few months.
Maybe that's the best thing they could have done: get rid of it if they didn't have the star power.
And right after Survivor Series, they bring in Ric Flair a few months too late, and he's the quote-unquote co-owner with Vince, and they go off and do that storyline of the WWF meeting. So it's funny. It's like they didn't even use Flair for the WCW stuff. They were, like, so done with it.
Right.
What do you think, just overall, of this invasion? Do you think, like, obviously, I mean, without a doubt, I mean, they're copying you guys. They're copying WCW, but what do you think about execution-wise?
I mean, just from the outside looking in, I don't see what the end result was going to be anyway. You know, I don't know.
Do you think that it was just too obvious, too predictable, like that WWF is just going to kill them and, like, this is...
Yeah, it's what you said. You could tell Booker T's not going to beat Rock. I mean, Austin ends up being the savior of WCW. Come on. It's just ridiculous.
And when you look at it, nobody in their right mind thought, like, oh, Vince, like you guys did, like where you had Hall and Nash dominate for a while, Hogan win. Like, NWO was just so dominant, you didn't know if WCW was going to win. Here, you're like, okay, when is WWF just going to destroy everybody and WCW's dead? It just, you knew Vince was never going to have that mentality where he's, like, thinking about business. He's thinking about killing WCW.
Right, right.
You think the smart play was to have WCW be dominant, maybe bring in one or two of those names?
No, I don't think so. If you didn't have those names, it wasn't WCW.
So let's say you could get those names. Would you book it NWO style?
You couldn't get those names.
Right.
That's the problem with that fantasy booking stuff. I love to do it myself, but if you can't get those names, Yeah, you if you could get those names, it makes it a whole lot different and a whole lot more intricate. But when in the back of your head, when you know those guys weren't going to come off their money, right?
Right. Yep. That, definitely not.
Yeah. So I don't know what you could have done unless you got the whole kit and caboodle. It didn't make sense.
And if you did get the kit and caboodle, you got to do it NWO style. But then even you're doing an invasion, it comes off as NWO light. Any invasion angle definitely comes off as NWO light.
Right. You can't keep, you know, you can't repeat that.
Yep. I know I was talking about the Ring of Honor versus CZW. Gabe did a little things, a little bit, little different stuff. I know it's a much, much, much smaller scale, but he did things a little differently where it wasn't like a total ripoff. He did some swerves and stuff. So there was some good stuff in that one. But come on, even that, obviously, everyone's thinking NWO versus WCW. Anytime right. there's an invasion angle, everyone goes back to that.
Right, right.
I don't think there's been a good invasion angle since. I can't think of one that like was a success besides the ROH CZW scale. That's small, small potatoes.
There's never been one that I know of.
So thumbs down, right? We're gonna give two thumbs down.
Yeah.
Let's hit the plugs. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Two Man Power Trip. Check out the website tmptempire.com. Kevin, you can follow him at Taskmaster Talks on Instagram. What else you got going on?
I'll be at the gathering, and I'm looking forward to seeing the people there. I'm doing a panel about championship wrestling with Florida. With Brian Blair, Bob Roop, Steve Kern, and myself. So come on out.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
So that should be cool.
Yeah, so come on out and say hello.
All right. Thank you, everybody out there, for listening. See you right back here next week for a little Taskmaster Talks. Kevin Sullivan. See you next week, folks. This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron. And also check out the website TMPTEmpire.com and buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies. Brother. Three, two, one. Happy New Year from our friends over at Manscaped. The ball has officially dropped, but that doesn't mean you have to drop the ball on your balls in 2023. Whether you had a New Year's kiss or not, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming have you covered for your much-needed resolution of bringing sexy back. So join the 7 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with our exclusive offer. Go to manscaped.com and use the promo code Sullivan20 for 20% off plus free shipping. Let us have a toast for a new year, new you, and a new you with no pubes. To complete the set, Manscaped threw in the Shed travel bag and anti-chafing boxers as free gifts to give to you to keep all your goodies stored nice and comfortably to go along with the Performance Package 4.0. Inside that Performance Package 4.0, you'll find the Signature Lawnmower 4.0. The advanced skin-safe technology reduces cuts and nicks on your delicate parts. It also comes equipped with a 4000K LED spotlight that will shine a light to the promised land 2023 looks to be. Cheers to new balls in 2023. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code Sullivan20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use that promo code Sullivan20. Time to feel sexy and free this 2023 with Manscaped. If you've experienced a loss of motivation, energy, or sex drive, or if you're noticing that you're a little softer around the middle than you used to be, it could be your testosterone levels have dropped. By the time men reach the age of 30, in most cases, their T levels have started to decline, and low T can lead to a loss of muscle mass, depression, lack of energy, and a low sex drive. The good news is now you have your remedy with Test X9. This stuff is the real deal, guys. This formula has 9 clinically proven ingredients to naturally boost your body's own testosterone production. Experience increases in strength, energy, and sex drive, as well as improved mood and well-being. Feedback has been awesome. Guys in their 30s and 40s have reported waking up with the quote-unquote morning wood for the first time since they were teenagers. If you want to take it to the next level, you can maximize your results with the Ultimate Test Stack, which combines the Test X9 with the T-Assist, an estrogen control and liver support blend, and Recovery PM, an amazing sleep aid that has had incredible feedback for helping people to get the best sleep they've ever had without feeling groggy that next day. You'll be amazed with the effect of raising your T levels and improving your sleep will have on your overall performance and well-being. Don't settle for average. Man up at LegacySupps.com. That is LegacySupps.com. And use the promo code Sullivan for an additional 10% off your entire order. That's LegacySupps.com. And use that promo code Sullivan for 10% off your entire order for the best health and workout supplements out there. This is Pro Wrestler approved. The madness has officially begun, and it's time for you to shoot your shot and score big on the nonstop action with MyBookie. It doesn't matter whether you're filling out multiple brackets, betting the national championship winner, or simply looking for player and game props. MyBookie has you covered. Sign up today at MyBookie and use the promo code Taskmaster to secure a first deposit bonus up to $1,000. It's simple, folks. Put in $200 and play with $300. Just use the promo code Taskmaster and claim your bonus. College ball, NBA, and UFC, no matter the sport, no matter the minute, MyBookie puts the action in your hands with in-game live betting. And with the choice from thousands of lines and odds, you can turn any game day into payday. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Just don't forget to use that promo code TASKMASTER. Remember, you can bet anything, you can bet anytime, you can bet anywhere with MyBookie. Please welcome in our new sponsor, Fishing Clash. Download Fishing Clash for free right now on your mobile phone by typing in Fishing Clash in the search bar of your Google Play or App Store. Open the menu in the top right-hand corner, choose the gift code section, and input my special code Taskmaster to get an awesome reward for a total value of $20. Enjoy chilling atmosphere after a hard working day. Get familiar with different types of fish species and their habits. You can choose one or two, or you know what you like the most.
Explore amazing fishing spots worldwide from Florida to Kamchatka. Whether you prefer fly fishing, ice fishing, trolling, you'll admire the look of all the fishing spots available in this game. This game will help you remember how you went fishing with your dad when you were a kid. So download Fishing Clash today for free on your mobile phone by typing in Fishing Clash in the search bar of the Google Play or App Store. Open the menu in the top right-hand corner, choose gift code section, and input the special code TASKMASTER to get a total value of $20. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the Fishing Clash, as it is a great casual time killer.